luncheon.
Wonderful.
On a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only towards the end of that lunch that, I mean, here were these guys, these two guys and one girl. Oh, and there was also my Asian friend Cosmo Lee, who was much younger than all of us, but he wanted to come along. He was studying acting also. And my mother asked, I don't know, was asked, I think she asked David, are you my son's friend?
Mm-hmm.
Will you take care of him, please? Mm-hmm. Tell him to to clean up his apartment. Mm-hmm. And so I see that you are his friend.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother was really the one to pick that up, more than my father, because my father saw, he has these guy friends, and there's a girl here too. Oh, maybe something's happening there. But no, she was just my friend, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never really, in this Catholic Filipino,
mm-hmm.
Oh, and then my parents were much older when my mother gave birth to me, because my father had been married, had an earlier marriage. And then went back to the Philippines, and my mother was the last of six sisters to get married.
From mm-hmm.
She was the spinster school teacher. So they were. My mother was 45, and my father was 48. But then some. But
so you had older parents.
I had older parents that my friends at school thought, "Oh, your grandmother is here to pick you up,"
and I would have
to keep saying, "No, no, that's my mother."
So I am so moved by the story of your. You obviously are very much loved.
That's what people keep saying
and
to
you
me.
You know, knowing you all these years in the dance community, I always thought you were so incredibly generous with your affection.
Mm-hmm.
Affection for artists and whatnot. You know, maybe the scene has changed a bit, but sometimes artists can be less generous. You know, I mean, because they are looking at their own work and their own career and jockeying for position of power, and you always strike me as someone, you know, and knowing you from the Bessie Award Committee, the annual Dance and Performance Award, where you advocate for works and artists that you believe in and think that are doing excellent work. And also, you know, you yourself as an artist, and you've never really, like, I don't feel like push yourself and your own career, whatnot, you know, in a very kind of like aggressive way. And also, you're a very important curator running the La Mama Move Festival, mm-hmm. the dance festival. And I was thinking, you know, like, I think Nikki must have been such a well-loved child to grow up,
mm-hmm.
to share, you know, the legacy of love.
No, maybe it is because I was an only child. I was old, and although, you know,
and this kind of Asian family,
I had all these cousins, but there was they were not of similar desires and likes, and
yes.
Were you kind of like a bit of a freak or a bohemian, right? I was kind of the black sheep.
Yes, of course. Asian families expecting you to be doctors or lawyers whatnot. I mean, we had that tremendous pressure. And I just am so moved by that because, you know, I keep thinking the legacy of love is what lets us survive the scourge of the losing so many of our dear ones,
mm-hmm.
Family member in my case,
mm-hmm.
friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, mm-hmm. and we carry on doing what we do,
mm-hmm.
in 2016, mm-hmm. and hopefully on.
Well,
you know?
I think it's partly, well, in large part, due to this community of artists who, in a sense, were like-minded in that people creating and creating their work, telling their own stories to each other,
mm-hmm.
and finding that, oh, comradeship,
yes.
shall we say. And so that became my family.
Yes.
The family that
the
I was searching
family.
For. Yes.
Our chosen
so
family.
So then, for me, it was a natural, this, the being loved as a child, then I wanted to return that
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it became a natural for me
mm-hmm.
To seek out other artists. And little did I know that that was actually a job. curating. The position of curating, organizing other people's work. And as Mia Yu and I at La Mama Googled once the word curator,
mm-hmm.
it does mean to organize. But there's also cura in Latin, which means to heal.
Mm,
wow. So that's a very,
wow.
I think that's a very significant
mm-hmm.
Layer
yes.
of meaning
yes.
to what curators
mm-hmm.
Potentially can do with
wow.
with artists and their, you know. So anyway, so that sharing of love and mentorship
mm-hmm.
with other artists
mm-hmm.
Was not something that I went to school to learn, but maybe it did come from this immigrant family, this Asian Filipino immigrant
mm-hmm.
Way of looking at the world and feeling like at first feeling like outsiders in their own community, but then finding a way to give back
and connect
to the community.
I often think that that Quan Chi did not have as lucky a position with vis-a-vis my parents. They were, I think, more traditional Chinese, and even though, you know, my mother was a very modern woman, she was in the 1950s as a young mother pursuing her own master's of education in London University, left the two of us as young toddlers to fulfill her dream. She was a school teacher. She taught English in Hong Kong, and later on in Vancouver, so she must have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in a way, that struggle for approval and acceptance for Quan Chi and me kind of became a driving force to really become someone that we can, you know, to find that community, to really connect with the community that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very lucky to have found it in New York.
Absolutely, yeah.
I often think, oh my God, you know, what would life be like if we never left Vancouver or Hong Kong? But, okay, never mind. We don't need to go there. But, you know, the fact is that there is this incredible support here. And I'm finding, looking back, how to, you know, always how to make work that resonate for the future, you know, the younger artists who are coming now. Do they remember?
Well, that's why we're speaking to each other today. But
as elders.
But I was wondering who were my heroes at that time, my performance heroes, some of whom I actually got to work with. and I see two strands. One was on the one hand were these very powerful women. And because my mother was a very powerful woman, maybe too overpowering for me at the time I was growing up, but I found that I through years of self-therapy, I found a way to deal with that. But then I gravitated towards these very powerful women artists, including Meredith Monk,
yes,
Yoshiko Chuma,
yes,
and Bogart, and then the great mother of us all, of our artist community, Ellen
Stewart,
this African American black woman who by the force of her will almost,
yes,
created a theater,
yes,
that we still have now. 55, we're going to be celebrating our 55th. Five season.
Amazing.
But so there were these strong women on one hand, and then there were these powerful gay brothers and fathers. Principally for me, it was Jeff Weiss, the great, who I call the great renegade actor playwright, and his partner, Carlos Ricardo Martinez, who is now known as Richard C. Martinez. But Jeff taught me, even after Oberlin College, even after NYU, this the immediacy and the power of theater to change lives in an instant.
Right.
So here we, oh my gosh, here we are in this room, and we're here with this actor who is so powerful. And it's a matter of life and death. And then there were also my brother colleagues, shall we say. And I remember walking into PS 122. It was 1980-81, and I saw two boys, well, two young men named Tim Miller and John Burned,
yes,
performing a piece called Live Boys. And this was the first time that I saw two male performers being very outspokenly gay through their movement and through their speaking with each other on a stage, and then also talking about their personal
lives, yes,
on stage. And then, of course, later, John Burned was one of the first to succumb to the AIDS virus. And he was just an inspiration and a very brave soul and spirit. And so there was this time when that specter, shall we say, of this virus started infecting many of these brothers,
right,
and some sisters, but mostly these gay men who were very influential and inspirational to me as a person who was just coming out in those years.
That's why when I lost my brother Kong Shi in March of 1990, after, you know, 4 or 5 years of, like, going to memorials and funerals and,
yes,
in the late 80s,
yes,
I realized I had to make my work more personal.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I made the dance theater piece Slut for Art, a.k.a. Ambiguous Ambassador,
yes,
which was how he coined himself, because he always dressed in the Mao Zedong suit.
Yes, those beautiful,
like the Chinese uniform, and photographed himself all over the world.
Suits. Yes.
In front of world monuments.
Yes.
The World Trade Towers, Eiffel Towers.
Yeah.
And they became iconic symbol of a alien, or he called himself an ambiguous ambassador, who was a global citizen, and it dealt with identity politics and whatnot. So these photographs were his
beautiful life. Photographs.
He made that over a decade. And I thought, okay, I really need to deal with my grief, my personal grief, as an artist in a work.
Mm-hmm.
It took 9 years. But in 1999, I made Slept for Art in collaboration with our wonderful theater friend, director, Ping Chong.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I asked Ping to help me to make that piece because I knew it was going to be a personal story, but I didn't want, I was too subjective. And mm-hmm. Ping did not know my brother.
Mm-hmm. Also, in a way, he was a perfect conduit to tell your story in a more objective
and structured and formal way.
Yeah.
And his process is to interview people who knew him.
Right.
And so we collaged the text, the script, from interviews that we did with my brother's friends and colleagues. We had the visuals already with my brother's photographs. So we had Dotie Jones talking about...
okay, so you had other artists.
Yes, well, they were... Yeah, they were other artists. Anne Magnusson, Kenny Scharf.
Wow, yes.
My brother's last partner, Christopher Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin. So it was the script became a collage of a life of a Chinese-American boy who grew up, came out as a gay artist that left a decade-long archive of incredible photographs that documented a certain time, the 1980s in New York, downtown art scene,
mm-hmm.
with his friend Keith Haring, all the subway drawings, etc. And it became a... you know, the way for me to deal with processing that
mm-hmm.
grief. And the piece was very significant to me to start telling stories. You know, I mean, that's why, like, we are in the role of storytellers to make some difference, hopefully.
And I, too, started telling my own autobiographical stories, but I must say that, and I as many of my friends were becoming members of ACT UP and GMHC,
mm-hmm.
I found my own way to activism was through mostly through Jeff Weiss's work in mm-hmm. the early 90s, a play called Hot Keys, which was Jeff's response to the whole AIDS crisis. So
mm-hmm.
I felt in that as a performer, testifying
mm-hmm.
through Jeff's play was a way for me to also be an activist and mourn the deaths of my friends who were dying
right.
at that time. And it's...
And
I think
now,
it's important.
And now we have, you know, Dance Space Project doing the platform in the fall of this year.
Yes.
Looking at that.
Looking
at loss.
Looking back.
And
yes.
Looking back and also seeing, you know, in with perspective and also into the future. I mean, where are we?
Right. And you're right. There is the millennial
mm-hmm.
generation and the generations that come after the millennials need to know. I think it's important to know our history. That's what I've been learning as an artist now, getting older. That we must know where we have come from in order to move forward.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of Asian thing, too, isn't it? But then Ancestry. But then a lot of Ancestry.com is now, like, all over the place, right? Because people want to know where we came from and what we've experienced, I guess.
Right.
It's such a amazing journey.
Yes. I feel like we've only gotten started. Nina, but, oh my gosh, here we are, talking up a storm. But and there's so much else to continue speaking about in our lives. But, oh, I thank you for spending this time. I'm really cherish this time that we've just spent.
Likewise,
together.
Nikki. I just think that, you know, there is so much that we can talk about and share.
Yeah.
And also, like, the fact that it's life is not easy, but aren't we blessed with, like,
yeah,
the amazing people that we've met.
Yes, and I think
in our lives,
it's a kind of makes me it's a kind of good feeling to know that the artists that we know and who work with are doing this kind of work.
Yeah.
Doing this, that we of memory and remembrance, and
yeah,
that is part of the work that we do as artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Muna.